It was 15 years ago that Kurt Cobain took his own life. But this month, his music lives on with two Nirvana releases. There's a reissue of the band's album Bleach and a DVD of a performance at England's Reading Festival in 1992. Our critic Will Hermes is especially taken with the DVD.
The first time I saw Nirvana at the club First Avenue in Minneapolis, I didn't really get it at first. Then they played the song About a Girl, which sounded like something off Meet the Beatles, only bent out of shape by punk metal noise and a much darker take on gender relations than the young Lennon or McCartney had. This live version is from 1990, and it turns up on the reissue of Nirvana's Bleach, which didn't make much of a splash at the time, but with hindsight, shows a band clearly hurtling towards greatness. A mere 2 years later, Nirvana headlined England's Reading Festival. By then, the greatness was obvious.
I'm so happy, 'cause today I found my friends. That's okay, so are you. Look, I miss Sunday morning. It's every day for all I care. I'm not scared. Light my candles in our days, 'cause I found God. Yeah, yeah.
When Cobain took the stage on August 30th, 1992, costumed in a hospital gown, his daughter, Frances Bean, had just been born a week prior, and he and his wife, Courtney Love, were in the midst of a media firestorm around their heroin use. At points during the Live at Reading DVD and the slightly edited CD version, the singer sounds like an animal in a bear trap. Other times, you hear pain turned into the pure joy of sonic mayhem.
Mom and Dad were to show. Drop me off for Grandpa Joe's. Kick this game, said please, don't go.
But some of the most telling moments on the DVD are the bits and pieces of cover versions, like the bit of Boston's radio hit More Than a Feeling that leads into Nirvana's hilariously similar radio hit Smells Like Teen Spirit, or the Star-Spangled Banner quote, pulled from a storm of feedback just like Cobain's Seattle predecessor Jimi Hendrix, that manages to parody a guitar solo while reveling in one. Live at Reading is nothing more than a polished-up version of a bootleg that's been floating around for years. But between the raw power of the music and the details of the DVD, from the small smile on Cobain's face when he gets tens of thousands of fans to yell, "We love you, Courtney," to the close-up of blood spatters on his guitar pickups, I'd argue it's one of the greatest live rock records ever made, if a DVD still counts as a rock record. With the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame celebrating its 25th anniversary, it's a shame Cobain isn't around to throw his two cents at the proceedings. Then again, maybe we should view Live at Reading as just that.
That's critic Will Hermes reviewing the reissue of Nirvana's album Bleach and their Live at Reading DVD.
What else could I be?
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
I can't stop loving you.
20 years ago, Angela Workman was touring with the legendary Ray Charles as one of his five backup singers, the Raylettes.
Friends, we gonna get the good up here now, all five. Here are the Raylettes right now.
20 years ago, I had the chance to interview Angela Workman, and I'd like to welcome her back to the program. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. It's hard to believe 20 years has passed since we last spoke.
I know. Just like fast forward.
Yeah, pretty much. So how long did you stay a Raylette after our interview in 1989?
Let's see. I was with Ray for 11 years.
Wow.
And I had met you just when I came out of college, and that was my first job right out of college, is to tour with Ray.
No kidding.
Talking about trying to find yourself traveling in the world.
That's true. Absolutely. Well, Mr. Charles died in 2004. So what have you been doing?
Oh, my goodness. You know, as a legacy to Mr. C, that's what we lovingly called him, he taught me so much. And I really felt that I was an apprentice to him. He would always give me, you know, different things on how to improve as a professional vocalist. And he would always tell me stories about how I have accountability to my public and this is what I'm going to have to do. So it was almost like he had a sixth sense to see that I was going to go on to have a solo professional career, which that's what I've been doing. I actually recorded my first CD this year with the piano player from Spira Gyra.
Wow.
And it's called Moonflowers, Angela Workman Moonflowers.
Today we said our first hello. Both souls knew the miles our hearts had to go.
It gives a homage to Ray as well as just the collection of lyrics that I wrote while I was touring with Ray, what I was observing. So it's almost like my diary on the road set to music.
Huh. Did you have to take a day job?
I did. And you know what? For all the different performers that are out there, our economy is really tough right now. So it's almost like you need a supporting job to be able to support the arts that you do. I call myself a corporate entertainer. Because it encompasses so many different things. I took a position as a receptionist, and then that evolved into voiceover work and countless other things when my company would need vocal backgrounds for different people, for tree lighting or whatever. They would bring me into the fold. So I used the day job as a wonderful way of connecting to the public and making me a better performer and a better writer. Mm. It's just a different stage.
You know, the music business has changed quite a bit in the 20 years since we spoke. Is it easier to get your music to an audience these days, given all the platforms that exist out there now?
It absolutely is. It is so fascinating. It's just this amazing creative global highway. My album is on Amazon.com and iTunes, and it just allows me to be able to put my material out there without having to have, you know, label support. For so long, I was knocking on the door like, hi, you know, and they were like, well, we have so many people in this kind of genre. And I said, but I'm unique. And they said, well, we already have people. So this is an amazing and exciting time for solo artists like myself who can present their projects, you know, independently. And I'm very grateful.
Angela Workman, when we spoke with her 20 years ago on my very first show on Weekend Edition, she was one of the Raylettes with Ray Charles. And today she has her own album out called Moonflower, and she joined us from our New York bureau. Angela, it's great being in touch with you again, and thanks for helping us celebrate this 20th anniversary. Good luck to you.
Thank you, and happy anniversary, Leanne. You have given us so much, and we will celebrate more anniversaries to come. Happy anniversary.
It's hard to miss these commercials on late-night TV.
You want to keep warm when you're feeling chilled, but you don't want to raise your heating bill. Blankets are okay, but they can slip and slide. And when you need to reach for something, your hands are trapped inside.
This is, of course, an ad for the Snuggie. That's the full-size wearable blanket with sleeves. Now, the Snuggie's cult-like following is likely to grow now that it's got the imprimatur of a bona fide rock and roll band.
Now, there's the Weezer Snuggie, the blanket that has sleeves. The Weezer Snuggie keeps you totally warm.
That's right, Weezer. These guys.
If you want to destroy my sweater, hold this bed as
To find out what's going on here, we've got Weezer's lead singer, Rivers Cuomo, on the phone with us. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
First, I have to ask, if you want to destroy your Snuggie, can I hold this thread as you walk away?
I don't think Snuggies destroy that easily. They're very well made, and it's not as simple as holding a thread and walking away.
Because they're made out of fleece, right?
They are.
So tell me, how did this, this synergy happen?
Well, like Weezer, Snuggies are just this weird, cool product that everyone seems to like. They're really popular, and you can't really figure out why. So we figured it was a good match.
So you didn't get like a group of MBAs around who said, you know, guys, you got to get out with the Snuggie set.
No, it's all very intuitive.
Now, you actually performed on David Letterman's show wearing the Snuggie, and I saw a clip of it. Is that hard to do, to play in a Snuggie?
No, it's actually great to play in the Snuggie. Of course, your arms are free, so you can play guitar or drums, or you can do big rock poses, unlike with a blanket, which would be falling all over the place. And also, any performer knows this. If you've ever played Letterman, that set is freezing. They keep it literally 45 degrees at the most in there, and it's quite uncomfortable to play an instrument. Your fingers freeze up. So this is just ideal for us.
Now, obviously, there's a kind of an element of irony here, right? I mean, this is sort of half serious.
I have no idea what irony means anymore. Half serious, half joking, I don't know. It definitely feels funny to me.
That's Rivers Cuomo. He's the frontman for the band Weezer. The band's new album, Ratitude, and new Snuggie are both available now. Rivers Cuomo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.